This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
Hello, America, and welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. So glad that you've tuned in today. We've got a lot to talk about. We're going to start with the NCAA and North Carolina. Let's go there right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. Let's start with the NCAA because I guess a big tournament is happening tonight, or I'm not really...
Well, the conclusion to March Madness, yeah. The championship with North Carolina and Gonzaga tonight.
Of course, you're rooting for
the national championship.
Rooting for Gonzaga?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, of course, in North Carolina, they passed a law. Was it last year? It was just last year, right?
Yeah, Thursday was the year mark, right? That they had to have it done.
You had to go to the bathroom of your actual gender. Oh, what haters.
I really can't believe that.
I just don't know what to do.
So they just kind of caved into pressure from the NCAA because the NCAA threatened. Well, in fact, they did pull out whatever championships or whatever events were going to be taking place in North Carolina.
How sick are we that we allow a college sports committee to bully us around and tell us what to do?
It's unbelievable.
Coming to Texas, too.
It's unbelievable. Incredible. I don't think Texas will do it.
I hope not.
I mean,
we've got a darn good governor who usually stands up to this kind of stuff.
I can't believe that's going to happen in Texas.
And the actual details of the repeal are quite interesting in that, like, it doesn't seem like it's a win for transgendered activists either.
So what did they actually
compromise?
So this story begins not with the North Carolina bathroom bill, but the previous thing that happened, which was in Charlotte. Charlotte's city government said,
right,
hey, even if you're a private business, you have to follow our new transgender laws. Everyone mandated you have to follow them. Okay. North Carolina's bathroom bill was a response to Charlotte, which is never included in these stories. It's always they just out of nowhere, they decided they wanted people, transgender people, to not be able to go to the bathroom of their choice. That's not how this started. It was Charlotte saying, we are making the decision for you. In our city, you have to go with the new transgendered. They get to go to any bathroom they want, no matter what. That's our new policy. So North Carolina said, wait a minute, no. Actually, the state law is going to trump you and say you have to go to the bathroom of your gender. And then everyone gets involved in the story. And then everyone gets offended. And then the NCAA rides to the rescue. So what they did was not repeal it to the Charlotte way of doing things, but they went before Charlotte, which was essentially private businesses can do what they please.
What a crazy idea.
What an idea.
Right. And I believe the way it reads, or it's going to be kind of in practice, is that the state bathrooms would be more leaning towards the new rules. However, of course, transgender activists are not happy with this at all. I mean, they're actually very pissed off about it, thinking that they did get screwed here. Because they lose the protections they wanted from that sort of Charlotte.
But the more important thing is, was the NCAA appeased?
If they're okay with it, then I'm okay with it.
If they're okay with it, then all people should be okay with it.
If a ball is not dribbled in a particular state, it is not a state. We know that.
That's in the
Constitution.
That is.
And if the NCAA doesn't want to bring their little party to your state, and again, I'm a sports fan here. This is not Glenn Beck speaking, who does not care at all about this particular story. But it's like, you know, if a freaking sports league can bully your state policy around, you almost should just go back to a colony.
Okay, hang on just a second.
Yeah.
What is the difference between this and the Raiders moving to Vegas for the most expensive stadium ever built? Mm-hmm. It now makes the Meadowlands look cheap. It's about $400 per person in taxes.
Unbelievable.
I mean,
what's the difference? I think that they're both terrible.
Yeah, they're both terrible.
Sports league should not make your policy.
Sports should not, should not be leading.
Well, that's why they're leaving Oakland, because Oakland won't pay for the big expensive new.
If I were in Vegas, how dare the city?
Oh, I'd be pissed.
Take this on.
I'd be
Are
mad.
You kidding me? With everything that's going on in the world, and the Oakland Raiders, they can sell their T-shirts. Mm-hmm. They make plenty of money. I have the same feeling about the Oakland Raiders that I do about Sesame Street. You make enough money. You don't need my tax dollars.
Well, if enough cities said no, then that would be the... That would be an issue, right?
Yeah, but you can solve it in your city by saying no in your city.
Correct. Yeah, you need to go. I mean, the people in Vegas, and they won't.
No.
But the people in Vegas should be in the streets in front of City Hall right now.
They want it.
Saying no. Yeah, they do.
The correct number of dollars spent on sports stadiums by government sources is zero.
Zero.
Zero. $0. I'm the biggest sports fan in the world. It's opening day today. You've got the NCAA Final Four. It's all stuff that I love. $0.
I know.
All the time, zero. I mean, I don't know. I guess they have an argument that there's just not enough private money in Las Vegas to handle a stadium if they want it. On the Strip, by the way. Now, if they put this thing far away from the Strip or somewhere where you'd have to commute to it, it'd be a heck of a lot cheaper. They would have put it on the Strip. A football stadium on the Strip. Well, yeah, it's going to be expensive, but the fact that you have to rely on taxpayers to do that is insanity.
Insane.
I mean, you know, people
just
really
insane.
Like sports.
It's
they
going to
will
be a
pay money for sports.
$2 billion stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no need
for $400 per person.
It will
in the New York City area, you kind of understand that it would be $1.6 billion, which is, I think, what the Meadowlands cost. $2 billion in Las Vegas, there's a lot of open land nearby. Like
desert.
It's a desert. And I get that it's better that it's on the Strip. Believe me, as someone who would go to Vegas and enjoys trips to Vegas, having that football stadium right there, I'll go.
Really
but guess what? I didn't pay a dime for it.
You know what really bothers me?
But you have.
How much money have we spent here in Dallas for this stupid stadium? And how many games are you guys going to?
Well, Cowboys AT&T Stadium or whatever they call it.
I love going to the Cowboys with. I'm not
a
sports
fan,
me too.
But it's unreasonable. Mm-hmm. The average person can't afford to go, so the average person is paying $400, and the average person can't afford to go because the tickets are also $400.
Yeah, Glenn, but it vitalizes the economy, and it's creating jobs all over.
Shut
there
up.
Are restaurants around that stadium now where waiters and waitresses get to work, and that those restaurants wouldn't be there because people wouldn't eat if there wasn't football.
It is.
The Women's Basketball National Championship was held in Dallas this weekend. You would have thought it was raining money in Dallas this weekend.
I didn't even know it.
Unbelievable, and nobody knew it. But that's all. I mean, they kept saying about it's bringing all this money
ridiculous.
To Dallas. All this. I mean, it was unbelievable.
And you know who doesn't say that? Economists.
Correct.
Yeah.
When they actually look at the details, these things never pay off.
We're finally waking up to the Olympics. We're finally waking up to the Olympics. That it never pays off.
Nope.
It was a total lie. You know what it does? It gives you a reason to feel good about your city. If the reason to feel good about your city is that the NFL has brought in a bunch of criminals to rip your taxpayers off.
You mean the politicians who are making these things go through. Although, just as guilty in these situations, are the voters. In fact, they are guilty. Because in almost all these situations, they couldn't get this money unless they all said, you know what, we should take from people who don't want to see games. We should take money from them so we can have nicer amenities at our stadium. It is unbelievable that the American people continue to do this. And it happens in every city. It's not just stadiums.
Nope.
It's local bond issues, as Pat has pointed out many times.
Over and over.
In Texas, it's about the stupid stadiums.
And it's always
for the children.
Oh!
Have you been to the schools? Have you been to these schools?
Palaces. The new ones never, that are built are unbelievable.
I have never seen such beautiful buildings.
Yeah, so it goes from, well, do you want your children to be in a temporary trailer while they learn mathematics? Yes, that'd be fine. I mean, they'll survive it.
Quite honestly.
But they don't need these palaces that you're building because they are building unbelievable
buildings.
We had trailers.
I mean, I grew up and we had temporary facilities. It didn't bother me at all.
Didn't even notice it.
Some of these towns are so far beyond that. There's a town near me that's doing a bond issue in which now they've built recently a new music center because you need a music center for your local town.
Oh, you have
That's from the government.
Yeah.
You need to have the new workout rooms that they've decided to build.
Where are you going to work out if they don't have a room for it?
The new lacrosse center that they're building.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, lacrosse center. So all that stuff's going in.
Is this in your town?
This is in a town nearby. They're also doing a new bond issue for more stuff. Now, if you have the money to build a lacrosse center, you should never have another dime in taxes for the rest of your lives. You should actually be banking money to pay police in 2718 before you build a lacrosse center. Right? Like, none of those things should happen from government dollars. But now what we've seen as a populace, we've decided that what government's job is to make our town have nice things in it.
Yep.
Now, this is obviously not in every town. There are a lot of towns, you know, that don't have nice things like this. But the suburbs life is turning into this.
You know what I want?
I like suburbs life, but it's not their job.
You know what I really want? You know, this is how I judge a town. Beside the downtown, you know, when you go into a town, does it have a good downtown? Is there any vitality left in that town? Okay. That's the first thing that you notice in a town. The second thing, and this is the one I look for if I'm moving into a town, what are the sidewalks and the streets like? Are they nice? That's how I judge a nice town. Look at the streets are nice, sure. They're manicured, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And how's the fire department and their police department? As a citizen, that's all I care about. That's all I want. Streets that are good, fire and police that work. That's what I want.
You're going to
want
to have a sports game to go to on the weekend or something.
Well, I really don't.
Yeah, but what about property values? It's not your right to take money from other people to boost your property values. That's actually not a good concept at all. It's actually a terrible concept. And this happens over and over again. To mention, we're at the point now where a lot of these cities, there's another town near me that has a giant, beautiful rec center with this incredible workout facility and multiple beautiful gyms. And a huge pool area with water slides for the kids. It's incredible.
Jeez.
And they spent, of course, lots of money by government dollars to build this. Well, what if you're LA Fitness or 24 Hour Fitness, a private company that spent their money to go into the town and build this giant gym? Then a year after you built it, they take money from taxpayers, build something that is heavily subsidized, which is, of course, more expensive because it wasn't their money. And it's subsidized, so you can't compete with it. And the prices, what does that do to the actual private company that comes into town? They get completely screwed by this. And it's the same thing with Wi-Fi and many other things that they're trying to do at the city level. Yeah, it's a nice little perk. And sure, it's wonderful to be able to buy things with money you didn't earn. That's great.
And you know what? I will even take, not necessarily Wi-Fi, but if you want to drop in really high speed, and I mean wildly high speed internet into your town, I honestly don't. That's kind of like infrastructure to me.
Yeah, it's not if you're Verizon.
No,
and
I know that.
All that
I know
money
that.
Building
I'm
those
saying,
lines.
I'm saying you could make a case to me to say, look, this is going to bring in. I'm not talking about to the homes. I'm talking to, for instance, there's this town in Tennessee that was absolutely dying on the vine. And they decided they were going to bring in Silicon Valley size speed. Yeah. And so they brought it in and it's revitalizing the town. Okay, if that's what you want to do to revitalize your town and you're passing that, I can understand that because it's bringing in, it's actually bringing in business. Right. It's measurable. It either works or it doesn't. the stadiums and the sports centers and the rec centers. That's just, that I don't understand. How are you taking money from me? You can't vote. You can't do this. You can't vote to take money from somebody. If you don't have the right to do it to your neighbor, for instance, I have a right to stop you from breaking in my house. We used to have the right to stop people from breaking into somebody else's house. We still have a right to stop somebody if they're doing something wrong, a citizen's arrest. We can assign that to the police to do because we have a right. I don't have a right to say, you know what? All of us live on the same block. Stu, do you say we up the taxes on Pat? Now, I'm not in his tax bracket. You're not in his tax bracket. And Jeffy, you're not in his tax bracket. So we don't have to worry about it. But we're going to specifically target Pat's tax bracket, and he's going to have to build the rec center for our street.
So we can all pay $10 a month to go to the ridiculous gym.
We wouldn't have a right privately to do that. You cannot assign a right to the government that you yourself do not have.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
You know, we started out the hour talking about the bathrooms in North Carolina, which North Carolina, of course, caved because, well,
sort of, yeah.
NCAA. Well, they made a compromise.
Yeah.
They said that the buildings that the state government maintains has to have that.
Yeah, I mean, this is the LGBTQ community response here. The rumored deal does nothing more than double down on discrimination and would ensure North Carolina remains the worst state in the nation for LGBTQ people. That's what their response was. So they were not happy with it either. Nobody was happy with it. Except, I guess, the NCAA, which I don't even know. They haven't even confirmed yet if they're going to
lift the ban.
Stupid. Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
I mean, it's just silly. But I
would tell you, I'm anxious to see this come to Texas because it's going to be an interesting fight. By the way,
anybody, the NFL already threatened.
Yeah.
Anybody watch the show Emerald City?
No.
So Emerald City, the end of the season.
What is it? What is this? I've never even heard of it.
NBC show.
It's an NBC show.
And so at the end of the season, they had Ozma, who is this princess. Okay. She's been lost. Well, you find out that Ozma has been...
is this a spoiler alert for people?
Yeah, spoiler alert. I mean,
boy.
Well, I mean, we're going to talk about stuff. We're going to talk about life from time to time. It's an NBC show. Anyway, and it doesn't really wreck anything. This kid who has been kept by a witch, locked in this room forever, and escaped, and she kept giving him this medicine, otherwise he would die. She was protecting him because he is not... he's a she. So in the last two episodes, he is wearing a dress and he's like, I feel like a boy inside. I don't want to be a girl. You don't know the struggle. I think it's the first kid trans hero of network television. And notice, nobody's really talking about it.
No. Nobody cares anymore.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
You know what's strange to me is how we have gone from a country 15 years ago, and you can look at some of this and say, this is really good. And some of it not so good. We are a country that has such tolerance that while we are at war with Islam, we need, and we are Islamists, while we're at war with Islamists, we elect a guy named Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. That it is, mm-hmm. we know the difference.
Barack Hussein Obama.
Yeah, Barack Hussein Obama. Mm-hmm. We know the difference. It's not like, oh my gosh, look at, they all have slanty eyes. Quick, let's put them in internment camps. We're not that, we're not that people anymore. We've gone from a country that 15 years ago, it was a big deal to have Ellen have a kiss on her show. First lesbian kiss. Now, right? Wasn't it, Stu?
That was wasn't it Roseanne had the first?
I think that's what I was just going to say. Kiss. I think Roseanne did have the first one, but Ellen was.
She was the first openly gay character, I think.
I mean, it was a big deal when Ellen
that,
was
it.
The first openly gay character that had her own show, I think, was the. She had some barrier.
No, there was some barrier. She did remember because I remember though. There was a show.
There was a show
yes, that was important.
That was over
and
the
I don't
top.
Remember,
yes,
and I don't remember what it was.
That was her coming out, wasn't it? It was like.
I don't remember, but I remember it was a big deal. And even then, I don't think America had a problem with that episode. America had a problem with the agenda, that it just became right. the agenda. You know what I mean?
And what is it? 98% of all shows now feature homosexual encounters. It feels like that.
Especially if you watch the BBC, it's almost every show. Telling you about Oz. I don't know if this is where they're going. But you can't not see the parallels of what we're talking about. Here's something that we are still discussing. Transgendered bathrooms. And by the way, for anybody who says that, you know, it's not a problem. Did you guys hear the woman from Disneyland? She went mm-hmm. to Disneyland. She said, I was off to the side waiting with the two boys when I noticed a man walk into the restroom. My first thought was, oh, crap, he's walked into the wrong restroom by mistake. He took a few more steps, at which point he would definitely notice all the women lined up, and he kept walking. My next thought was, maybe he's looking for his wife or his child. They've been in there for a while. But he didn't call out any names or look around. He just stood there off to the side and leaned against the wall. At this point, I'm like, WTF. there is definitely a very large, burly man in a Lakers jersey who just walked in here. Am I the only one seeing this? I surveyed the room and I saw roughly 12 women and children in tow, staring at him with the exact same look on their faces. Everyone was visibly uncomfortable. We were all trading looks and motioning with our eyes over to him, like, what's he doing in here? Every single one of us was silent. This is why I wrote this blog.
I mean, think of that. But you're supposed to be okay with that.
Yeah.
Right? They're haters now. They're made to feel like you're not supposed to say anything, and that's what she kind of goes through.
She says, if this had been 5 years ago, you'd bet your ass every woman in here would have been what are you doing in here? But in 2017, the mood has shifted. We've been culturally bullied into silence.
Yep.
Women were mid-changing their baby's diapers on changing tables. I could see them shifting to block his view, but they remained silent. I stayed silent. We all did. Every woman who exited a stall and immediately zeroed in on him said nothing. And why? Because, and I'm sure all others were scared of the what if. What if I say something and he identifies as a woman? And then I come off as the intolerant one in the happiest place on earth.
And I got news for you. In the local news reports and the national news reports that would follow, you would be presented that way.
Yes, you would.
Yep.
And again, this guy's not identifying. He's not saying anything about being a woman. Mm-hmm. He's just being a guy,
and he's just
leering at
there.
Women
and
in knowing, the bathroom,
and knowing he can now get away with it,
which is what we said would be the problem the whole time.
Yep.
An older lady said to me out loud, "What is he doing in here?" I'm ashamed to admit, I silently shrugged in mouth. I don't know. She immediately walked out. I saw two other people leave with their children. This is why, pushing for laws to allow anyone to use the bathroom, whatever they identify with, is absurd and dangerous. Before 2017, we shared the ladies' room with transgendered people, and we either didn't know or we never said anything because we knew we weren't in danger. It's something you didn't talk about. You just pee and leave. But the making of a capital case out of it, literally inviting anyone into a female-safe space. The government has put women and children at risk for peeping toms, rapists, pedophiles, drunks, and vagrants.
Mm-hmm.
Predators already capitalize and count on women's reluctance to fight back or speak out. Now it's worse because if you do speak up, you'll be labeled transphobic, and the predators know it. She goes on. This is quite an amazing thing. She goes on. She was for all, you know, tolerance and everything else. She now has experienced herself. The moral of this story is speak up, ladies. If a man walks into the bathroom, don't stop and think about it. Start yelling, get out, while dialing 911. Take whatever criticism any loon wants to throw at you. Your life and the lives of your children are worth more than public opinion.
And again, that happened at Disneyland.
Right.
Okay, so Disneyland.
And isn't Disneyland the place to go if you're a pedophile? You go by yourself.
I will say it's not in their advertisements.
No, it's not. But I mean,
that is not their slogan.
If you like children,
the place to go if you're a pedophile.
You know that they hang out where there's children, and you're just leering at children. Yeah. I mean, it only makes sense. The thing is, remember when I went over to Auschwitz and I met with the woman Paulina? I'm the only person that can make this transition.
We were joking about a ridiculous Disney slogan. You brought it to Auschwitz in 12 seconds. You're the only person in America who could do this.
So that's the charm of the show. That's why we are where we are. So anyway, I brought this. We met this woman named Paulina. I've told this story a million times. What did she say? She's a woman who saved the Christians from the Germans.
She just didn't go off the cliff with the rest of the people.
Right. That makes more sense to me now than ever before.
Yeah.
She said the righteous didn't suddenly become righteous. We just didn't go over the cliff with the rest of humanity. Meaning, we just stood in place. We just continued to do the things we always would have done, which is her point.
We did something. They hid Jews.
Right.
We can do something. I mean, all you have to do is speak up.
Just speak up.
Like, get out of here. Get out. Well, get out of this bathroom.
People are speaking up with a little bit with their money, though, because according to Marvel, their sales have been struggling. They've been wanting to sell more comics. And while feminists and progressive activists pushed for more diversity in comics, minority and female heroes, Dan Gabriel, senior vice president of sales, Marvel's core fan base just wasn't interested.
I will tell you this. That? I talk to Rafi all the time about, you know, going and get comic books. Let's get into comic books. Won't do it. Don't know where a local comic book store is, even in Dallas. But want to go to a comic book store and get all the old ones. I don't want the new ones. I'm not interested.
I mean, he said, we saw the sales of any character that was diverse, any character that was new, our female characters, anything was not a core Marvel character.
Nothing.
No sales.
Not interested. Well, because they don't. No one minds having a different character, having a diversity. It's when it feels forced that people reject
it. It's an agenda.
When you're trying to make, you know what? As a comic book, I'm going there to. If I'm going to read comic books, I'm going there to be entertained, have it be part of the story. You're not going there to be lectured by people about who you're supposed to accept and not accept.
For instance, didn't have a problem with Ozma from The Wizard of Oz, because I don't know if that's the story or if they were trying to make it a political point. Now, my radar is up on political points, so I just assume this is a political point. Stop it. However, it might just be that, you know, that's logical. If she was transformed by a potion into a girl. However, I just don't think that this is, I mean, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that storyline wouldn't have stuck out at all. You'd be like, oh, wow. Yeah, that would suck. You'd see yourself, right? But now is NBC, and it's NBC, that's another reason, is NBC now telling us, oh, yes, the planet is on fire. You have to do something about the planet. Oh, and progressive way of life is absolutely the right way of life. Oh, and look, here's this poor little character who is a kid who sees herself as a him. I mean,
right. Well, it goes to your point. We talked about this with Beauty and the Beast, is that everyone was like, oh, there could be a gay character. The story's about bestiality. We're all fine with the bestiality storyline for decades.
Yeah.
But it's like, wait a minute, you're starting to see these things, because a lot of times it is about agenda. There was some scene, I think it was NBC that aired it a few weeks ago, And it, I don't know, it's some miniseries about like the struggle of gay Americans or something. And look, there are amazing stories in this world that I'm glad they've been told. The one about World War II Alan Turing, that just came out. I mean, I'm glad these stories are coming out. However, like they just represent it in such a bizarre way. Like they had this one conversation between like a son and his dad, and I just happened to flip it on, and it sounds like, "Dad, I want you to know that I'm gay." No, you will not be gay. I have raised you in a way, and you will not tell anyone that you're gay. And it's like, all right. I mean, come, how preachy do we have to be here?
Right.
Like, I get that there have been these. You know, I get it. I understand. And you want to, like, these networks, however, seem to have this idea that if we can tell these stories in the most overt way possible to try to make every person who's ever gone to church look like an alien, then we've accomplished our duty for the week. And that is, there's got to be some balance there between these two positions.
Remember when you went to Auschwitz?
Shut up, Jeffy.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. Welcome to the program. Canada is considering a new controversial gender identity bill.
Oh, good.
It extends gender identity and gender expression to Canada's protected classes.
There you go.
Oh, that's good.
The enactment also amends the criminal code to extend the protection against hate propaganda set out that in that act to any section of the public that is distinguished by gender identity or expression, and to clearly set out the evidence that an offense was motivated by bias, prejudice, or hate based on gender identity or expression constitutes an aggravating circumstance that a court must take into consideration when it imposes a sentence.
There you go. And did we deal with gender pronouns here, I hope, too? Are they dealing with pronouns?
How do you, honestly,
the hateful him or her?
How do you live in, how are you as a religious person, how do you make it in Canada?
I don't know, but it's getting to that point here, too. So soon we'll be wondering how we make it here.
CBC News talks to Paul Dirks. He's a Canadian pastor. He said he's concerned the bill would make it impossible for businesses and schools to prevent men wanting to do harm to others and claiming to be women while they hide out in women's bathrooms, locker rooms, and public showers.
Oh, that could never happen. Why is this religious zealot throwing things out like that?
Listen, that's outrageous. This is the part that nobody ever hears. This is the part that nobody ever hears, because this is exactly how I feel. Our campaign doesn't say trans people are a risk to anyone. It's saying predators will take advantage of this bill.
We've said the whole time.
The whole time. Yeah. I don't know a single person. I mean, I have empathy for somebody who really feels like, mm-hmm, I've been trapped in this body, the wrong body. I feel
Jenner
for you, man.
Yeah. We've talked about that many times with Caitlyn Jenner.
I don't know what to say. I mean, I feel for you. I can't imagine what that's like. Can't imagine it. That's not who I'm talking about. I don't have a problem. I have a problem with two things. One, the agenda that says, you know what, try it on, see what it's like. No, you either know or you don't. If you're trapped in there, say something, you know. But if you're like, I don't know, today I kind of feel like a woman. No. The second thing is predators that will use this. And this is the primary argument against this.
Sure is.
Predators who will now shout you down and say hate monger when all you're trying to do is protect your kids or somebody else's kids or wife.
And they will have a legally approved defense to get out of trouble if they do get caught.
Yep. Mm-hmm. World's upside down. Don't go over the cliff.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
We'll be right back.
This is the Blaze Radio on demand.
Hello, America. So Donald Trump escalates the Freedom Caucus feud at the same time is playing golf with Rand Paul. I don't know what to read into this. Rand Paul said that golf game was good and he believes that they are getting closer and closer to a real deal on health care. We'll talk about that coming up in just a second. Also, the professor that says, of course, we should have single payer health care. And Donald Trump should be the guy who leads the way. And he's making his case in the New York Post in an op-ed. The reason why we bring this up is because this is the guy who got educators and writers together to vote for Donald Trump. He's a Trump supporter who's now saying the time has come for universal health care. We go there right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I want to get to the Los Angeles Times on Donald Trump, which it really is incredible how the mainstream media just does not see their own hypocrisy.
Yeah.
We'll get to that here in just a second. What is Donald Trump doing with health care? I mean, is he moving our way? Is he moving away? Which way is he going?
Maybe we can ask Rand Paul. They played some golf this weekend. Hopefully some good results out of that. Rand has a much better idea on health care than Ryan or Trump.
Get him on the air. Ask him about
it. Let's just
wonder if he'd be willing to talk about that.
Of course he would. Yeah. Of course he would. So, Mike, see if we can get him on the air.
Because he's been very solid on this since the election. He's been pushing hard. He's got a much better plan than most have produced.
Maybe the most solid on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Because you got other people defecting from like the Freedom Caucus, like Ted Poe.
You can't let that go.
Wrote a big. It just pisses me off. He wrote a big opinion piece on why I left the Freedom Caucus, and it's filled with the same infuriating BS.
This is not a perfect bill. There's no such thing as a perfect bill. Hey, we must stop allowing the perfect to be the enemy of good.
No, why don't we focus on being good, and then maybe that could be the enemy of really terrible. How about that?
Yeah. We're not looking for perfection.
Right.
Just looking for
That's the excuse the Democrats used when they crafted this piece of garbage in the first place.
Well, it's not a perfect bill, but we had to do something, and we'll get there eventually.
No.
And we are getting there eventually.
Yeah.
We are, to their goal.
And I understand you're never going to get perfect, but shouldn't you be able to see perfect from your first proposal? Shouldn't you be able to, at least in the distance, be able to see perfect from your first beginning negotiating point?
Yes.
Now,
yes.
I understand you're not going to get everything in there.
If perfect is heaven, this bill is in South Hell right now. Right. Okay. You can't even see it from
on the wrong side of the railroad tracks, by the way.
Yes.
It is. It's sad. Yes.
I mean, and for them to be okay with it, for them to craft this delicious turd burger and say, go ahead, eat up. Yeah, this is okay. No, it's not steak, but it's better than going hungry. No, it's really not. It's really not.
I just can't figure out.
Especially when we've got good chefs in the kitchen who could be cooking us something delicious.
Rand Paul is doing it. Yeah. Ted Cruz has done it.
Mike Lee.
Mike Lee has done
it. Ted Cruz's plan is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, there's some good plans out there. He should pick one and try that. You know, it's what I can't figure out is he's playing golf with Rand Paul. He's trashing on Twitter the Freedom Caucus. And then he comes out over the weekend and says, the White House does, I can't believe all this fake news saying that we're arguing with each other and we're at each other's throats.
So weird.
I mean, fake news, it's your tweets, dude.
You are the one saying, and not even in another venue. It was on the same account. You're saying that everyone's fake for saying there's differences when you are promising to primary people in 2018 that disagree with you. That's not a loving relationship. It's really incredible. I don't know. I mean, I just don't think people care, right? Like, I mean, because we were talking about this off the air, because there's a new there's a professor. His name, Jonah Goldberg wrote about him. His name is F.H. Buckley. He's the law professor who helped organize scholars and writers for Trump.
Okay.
And he wrote an interesting column for the New York Post this weekend. The headline, Why Trump Should Embrace Single-Payer Healthcare.
Oh, my gosh.
And it goes into saying that, like, well, Ryan Care, which, again, is a bit fraudulent. Look, Trump pushed just as hard for this, and now he's saying he's going to primary people who opposed him on the battle. So it's just as much Trump Care as it is Ryan Care. Let's get over that for a second.
But Ryan Care was something only an accountant or a right-wing ideologue could love. How could a right-wing ideologue love that? That was a disastrous plan. It locked in 75% of Obamacare with a couple improvements on it. So it goes in to say Trump didn't promise that. He promised a plan that would leave no one insured. The simplest way to do this
is... No one uninsured.
Sorry. Yeah. Yes, that would be a real weird campaign promise.
That would be weird.
I promise you will not have insurance.
But you'll pay through the nose.
Sorry. The simplest way to do this is with universal health care or on the Canadian model with a right of individuals to purchase a Cadillac plan on top of this out of pocket.
My.
And there are things that might be added, like removing the ban on re-importing drugs from Canada. And he goes on to say... you know who would support this? The people who elected Trump in 2016.
Would they?
They weren't right-wing ideologues. They were people who had lost or feared they'd lose their jobs. Many, is this you in the audience? I mean, certainly some of these things are these people, but a lot of other people voted for him as well. They were people who had lost or who had feared they'd lose their jobs. Many were but a few steps away from the diseases of despair, social isolation, drug and alcohol poisonings, and suicide.
What?
And it goes, you know,
suicidal.
So it was suicidal people who voted for Trump?
Yes.
Well, that explains a lot.
That's so ridiculous, so crazy to say.
As Jonah finished up, this is a problem in his estimation, Buckley, and a lot of people see this, that the Trump voter or the people who elected Trump are one vast, undifferentiated mass of down on their luck, on the verge of suicide, alcoholics, and opiate-addicted sad sacks. As a mathematical or statistical proposition, it's a bit much to say that they were the people who elected Donald Trump. Sure, they may have provided him the margin of victory in a handful of counties in Florida and Michigan. But if they did, it was only because rank-and-file Republicans put those states in play in the first place. About 9% of people who identify themselves as Democrats voted for Trump. About 7% of those who identified as Republican voted for Clinton. So there's very little difference there. This whole idea that all these independents rushed one way or the other, it doesn't seem like that's necessarily what happened. The issue here, though, is, you know, if you did vote for Trump, you know, if he starts going down this road, will you oppose him then? We should get that on record now. Remember it now before he does it. Because people in his in the groups that supported him, the people he thinks have been loyal to him, are going to him to encourage that he go to single-payer health care at the same time he's promising to primary the people who want it to be more conservative.
And this is the Bernie Sanders plan, by the way. Keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. It's the socialist Bernie Sanders plan. So can we get behind that as a Republican Party?
Say we don't like that. Can we
say that right now before Trump does get on board with this? Hopefully he won't. But if he did, wouldn't that be wrong?
It's a mental experiment. Sure, he's not going to do it. We can all agree he's not going to do it. But let's just think now how we feel if he did. What would you say about it? Think about it now, before it happens, before it's a big issue.
So
would you support it or oppose it?
That's
an important thing to remember.
Yes.
And then write it down somewhere. Write it on write it in permanent marker somewhere, like on a wall in your home, that you remember that when Donald Trump wasn't proposing single-payer health care, I thought it was a really bad idea. Just write it somewhere, I don't know, on your door, on your mirror, in permanent ink.
There's no way. There's no way. There's no way. I will tell you, You said eat your underwear.
Mm-hmm.
If the conservatives, if he would go, and he's not going to do this, if he would go for a single payer health care system and the conservatives would go right along with him, do I eat the whole underwear factory? I don't know. There's no way.
Think of this scenario.
If that happens, aren't we fairly lost as a country?
No, we're done.
In that crazy scenario, we would be lost, right?
We're lost.
But think of the scenario where, let's say things don't go well the next couple of years for Donald Trump as president, mm-hmm. and he's opposed by the Freedom Caucus and it pisses him off. And he, in 2018, maybe the Democrats take control of the House. You know, they only have 52 seats in the Senate already. You know, maybe they take control of the House. And then he's thinking, well, if things aren't going well and these people have stood in my way the whole time and we have these real problems, I can solve them with the Democrats, and enough Republicans would certainly go along with him on this. You wouldn't need the Freedom Caucus on that one. You get the Democrats and you put together the most annoying Republicans in the House. He could absolutely get it done. It would be difficult for a Democrat president to get that done. It would not be difficult for a Donald Trump if he changed views on this or adopted his views from the campaign. It would not be that difficult. And, you know, it would be a big change, but, you know, you put Trump supporting it.
He's done that kind of stuff before, though.
He could do that. Trump supporting it, because you'd get Democrats, you'd only have to get a few Republicans, or maybe none, depending on what happens in 2018. It might be none.
It's not like he's never changed a point of view, is it?
You know, he is...
In fact, it's quite the opposite.
I don't believe he's ever changed his view on health care. He has said that that's what he wants. Single-payer universal health care where everyone is covered.
And the government
pays for it.
And it seems like the Ted Poe argument here is to say, well, you should be scared of that, so let's embrace the really terrible policies he's doing now so he doesn't get mad at us.
Yeah, rather than saying, look, we've got a majority in Congress and we have the executive branch. Let's get something really good passed.
And that's
I don't know why that can't be the mindset for the Republicans, but it just never is.
He's not making the policies. Put good policies in front of him and make him veto them.
It's what they did with Obama.
Right.
And they showed they weren't serious, didn't they? We're not serious.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Unbelievable. New York Times now sees the flaws of Venezuela, and they can report on it. You're not going to be happy. We'll get to that here in just a second. Los Angeles Times. When will this end is the name of the op-ed. It's no secret that the campaign that Donald Trump was a narcissist and a demagogue who used fear and dishonesty to appeal to the worst in American voters. Times called him unprepared and unsuited for the job he was seeking and said his election would be a catastrophe. Still, nothing prepared us for the magnitude of this train wreck. Can I ask you a question? Because they talk about the policies. Is there any of the policies that he has done that are worse than the Barack Obama policies that we felt? They may not have felt this way, but we did. For instance, we knew that they were going to destroy healthcare in America and rip away our doctors and insurance rates would go through the roof. All of those things have happened. We thought that was really bad. We thought that his campaign against guns with Eric Holder running guns, we thought that was a problem. We thought it was a problem when they used the IRS to come after private citizens and brush it under the carpet. I mean, there are lots of things that Barack Obama did. Here, Donald Trump has taken dozens of real-life steps that, if they're not reversed, it will rip families apart, foul rivers and pollute the air, intensify the effects of climate change, and profoundly weaken the system of American public education for all.
And yeah, I would say, if you're an Al Gore acolyte, and you love the guy, and you love it, believe everything he says, and you think the world's going to burn to death in a fire and flood, you're probably pretty pissed at Trump. I mean, Trump has done the Keystone Pipeline. He's gone. He has been, for me, good on that issue so far.
Yes,
so
he's
pleasing me, he's not pleasing those people.
Correct.
So,
but there's no difference between, we had the same guy. Our side felt the same way about the policies. So his policies.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't passed any meaningful legislation.
And ripped
all he's done
apart.
Is done executive orders.
What is that? That's he's going to deport illegals? Well, Barack Obama deported a hell of a lot more illegals than he has so far. Obama was deporting illegals all the time.
He was deporting illegals faster than George Bush was.
Yeah.
So here's where they say, but the proceeding with his efforts to defang the government's regulatory agencies and bloat the Pentagon's budget, even as he supposedly retreats from the global stage, these are the problems that the LA Times has. Trump's shocking lack of respect for fundamental rules and institutions on which our government is based. Oh my gosh, you've got to be kidding me.
Like what? Oh, the Federal Reserve is one of them he mentioned.
Stoking public distrust of essential institutions, a way he undermines his faith in American democracy, blah, blah, blah.
We're not a democracy.
I mean, can I tell you something? Didn't this happen with the police acted stupidly?
Mm-hmm.
We trusted the police until Barack Obama. He destroyed the faith that the American people had in the justice system. And in police. Now, maybe he should have, some will argue. Maybe he should have. He's clashed with his own intelligence agencies, demeaned the government workers, and questioned the credibility of the electoral system and the Federal Reserve. Well, he should question the Federal Reserve. He has really done damage on the electoral system. Demeaned government workers? Well, not all of them should be demeaned, but some of them should be. Clashed with his own intelligence agencies. You are the ones who said that the intelligence agencies lied to us about getting us into war with Saddam Hussein. So, really, they are just so blind to what they have been a part of.
So hypocritical.
And how the other side of the country sees things. Half the country.
Oh, that's why every one of your interviews, they're always shocked by that, right?
Yeah, they can't figure out one.
Well, what if you were just a lot worse than everybody else? Well, what if no one on the left has ever done anything wrong and you were the only one who was evil?
I mean, and that is essentially their answer to you.
It is.
It's that, you know what? They were right. You know what? When they were criticizing people on the left, right, it was because they were racist. It's because they didn't understand. Is because they did just want to stop progress. It's because they do have hate in their hearts. When the people on the left are opposing it, it's because Donald Trump really is bad. He's really bad, and we have to stop him. And that we can unite on. It's always you can unite with them on their thing.
Right.
You know,
right.
They will allow you to unite with them on their thing all day long. But that's not what uniting is. It's not what compromise is. We all understand, again, we're not going to get the perfect thing. But, I mean, you should be able to understand what the other side is feeling on this. As conservatives, we should be able to look at them and say, holy crap, imagine what they're feeling right now. You know, when the EPA is a perfect example for me because I don't want the government involved in that, in 99% of that stuff. But for them, it's like the apocalypse is here because Donald Trump rolled back some clean air regulation that did nothing but charge businesses money for very little result. You know, for them, though, I mean, it's a complete disaster. You should be able to understand why they're irrational at times here.
Yes.
But that doesn't excuse it, and they should be able
and
to.
I would just like them to go, oh, we saw our guy going the other way. I can see why you guys felt so horrible.
Yeah. Not too much.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program. 888-727-BECK.
So the Los Angeles Times just does not see things. We have got to try to start seeing things from somebody else's perspective. Doesn't mean we agree with them. Just means empathy is a really important part of civilization. If we can't empathize with somebody, we can't have a conversation. We need to have empathy. Once we recognize and validate, you know, I see what you're feeling because I just felt this way. And it's really easy to do this when they say, you know, Donald Trump is a train wreck and they point out his policies. Yes, because he's reversing the policies for the EPA that Barack Obama put in. Mm-hmm. And we thought those were abysmal policies. Thought those were going to destroy business here in America. You think they're going to destroy the earth. We don't think so. You don't think they're going to destroy business. We do. Okay. That doesn't make him the word. Don't, may I say it this way for people on the left so they will hear it. Don't become me. Don't become me. We made it through Barack Obama, didn't we? We'll make it through Donald Trump. The earth will still be around at the end of Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. The republic is still standing after Barack Obama. So don't become me. How's that? So we can see each other's point of view, but there are a few things in here that they list five things that they think are just, you know, reprehensible. His shocking lack of respect for the fundamental rules and institutions on which our government is based. Well, that was, I've got a phone and a pen, wasn't it? Isn't that what many of us were saying? Uphold the Constitution. You can't do that. Don't tear the police department down. You're destroying the credibility of the police.
One of the first things that happened under Obama.
Correct. Now, he's going the extra step of declaring things like journalists enemies of the republic, enemies of the people. That's a problem. Mm-hmm. And he has given fake news and then said, you're just reporting fake news. For instance, he has talked about this war with the Freedom Caucus and then several times on Twitter. And then this weekend tweeted, why is fake news reporting that there's this war with the Freedom Caucus?
Yeah.
What?
Also, where was the Los Angeles Times when Barack Obama was obliterating Fox News at every chance? When he was talking about the bias of Fox News and how they hate him for no reason and all of that, where was the Los Angeles Times on that free and independent press?
Well, here's what's interesting to me is they say that, I was the beginning of fake news. Do you know how many lawsuits I would have had? I spent $1 million of my own money. Money I wish I could take back. Spent $1 million of my own money on research for that show to make sure that we were right. How many times did you guys hear me? If we get one thing wrong, not an opinion, if we get one fact wrong, they'll kill us. And it'll be death by 1,000 paper cuts.
Every day.
So
if things were even in doubt, we didn't include them in the story.
Right. So the problem was not what I was reporting. It was that people disagreed with the conclusions that I made.
Mm-hmm.
Why is Glenn Beck crying? Oh, listen to this. He cares about his country and he's worried about the republic. Well, why are people upset now? Why are people upset?
Because they say they care about their country and they're fearful for the republic.
That's right. Yeah. So you just disagreed with the opinion. Next, the utter lack of regard for truth. This one is hard to argue. Whether it's the assertion that Barack Obama bugged Trump Tower or the inauguration crowd or muddying the water with fact and fiction, it's difficult to know whether he can't distinguish real from the unreal or whether he intentionally conflates the two to defuddle voters. I don't know on that one. But where were you as a press when you knew the White House was lying to you on things like Benghazi? You knew. You knew. Day one, you knew. You knew. Where were you, when the president...
A much bigger issue than the inauguration.
Much bigger
crowd.
Issue.
Oh, my gosh.
Where were you on, it's just a couple of rogue agents in Ohio on the IRS. Where were you? This is a much bigger issue. This isn't my inauguration was bigger than his. Who cares? This is, there was a concerted effort to target people And then they erased all of the hard drives.
Well, I mean,
which lie matters?
Right. How about the Susan Rice thing, right? It's all about a video. Yeah. She goes on show after show after show selling you a video. Well, Eli Lake in the in Bloomberg today says the person they believe is most responsible for the unmasking of these sources, Susan Rice.
Oh, jeez.
Now, if you had taken the Susan Rice thing seriously years ago,
you wouldn't have this.
This wouldn't be a problem today. But you didn't. You ignored it.
And you know what they'll do? You know what they'll do? Well, Susan Rice was just trying to protect the Republic.
Yeah. They'll make excuses.
They'll make excuses for her.
And that's not right for either side to do.
No.
It's not right for either side to do.
Can't make the excuses for Donald Trump, and you can't make them for Susan Rice or Barack Obama. Did you guys see, look this up, from Meet the Press yesterday, Chuck Todd went after Chuck Schumer. Did you guys see this?
Yeah, I did. I did see it.
We have to play it. I'm going to break early so we can play it. He went after him. And it's like, wait a minute, Senator. That doesn't make any sense. Because in the past, you said this. Mm-hmm. And I tweeted it last night and said, look at this. Fair and balanced. There is hope for journalism. Look at this. Some people were like, it was just a flash in the pan. It was a mistake. He didn't know what he was doing. He was drunk. Let's give credit where credit is due.
Yeah.
When Meet the Press does their job and holds the feet to the fire, because that is what we're talking about with having credibility. If you can't hold your own side, if you can't now come out and say, Susan Rice unmasked these people and shouldn't have unmasked them, no matter what the reason was, ends justify the means. There's no difference between Susan Wright and what's his name that leaked to WikiLeaks, except he fled the country and obviously much bigger secrets released. But same thing. He said, well, I'm doing it to save the Republic. If she unmasked these people and she says, well, I did it to save the Republic. OK, that's great. But you have to pay the penalty. I would have no problem with what's his name that went over to China and now in Russia, the spy, the
Snowden?
Guy, Snowden. Mm-hmm. I'd have no problem with Snowden. I would know he was a patriot if he were in jail today. If he released them and then said, I'm willing to stand trial. I'm willing to stand trial. I went over to the United States to be with the Guardian, not over to China and then to Russia, but I went to the Guardian. And they'll protect me. I'm in the English embassy, whatever. Just until I can make the statement, I'm willing to turn myself in. I'd have no doubt the guy was a patriot. Susan Rice, if you did the patriotic duty, then you have to be willing to pay the price. But will the press demand the price is paid? No. Most likely, no.
We have won. The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
I'm going to go to the Chuck Todd the story. Actually holding Chuck Schumer's feet to the fire yesterday. We'll go there in just a few minutes, probably after the top of the hour. Also, this story from last week. I don't know if you saw this. The church minibus that was driving down in rural Texas. It happened last Wednesday. There is a video that came out of this guy in this big white truck, and he's being followed for 20 minutes. And the person behind the car, behind the truck, is videotaping him. He's like, he is all over the road, thought he was drunk. Called the sheriff in two counties, crossed over to two counties, called the sheriff's office in both counties and said, you guys, you have to get out here. You have to arrest this guy before somebody gets killed. I don't know if he's drunk or what. Mm. Nobody responds. Nobody gets there in time. He comes around the corner and he hits a church minibus. 13 people killed.
Oh, jeez.
The witness is a 55-year-old self-employed welder, Jody Kuchler. He and his girlfriend, driving back to their home, said he kept going off the road and onto oncoming traffic, and he just kept doing it. We called the sheriffs, needed to get him off the road before he hit somebody. He told the AP he witnessed the crash, and afterward he checked both the bus and the truck and was able to speak with the driver of the truck, 20-year-old Jack Dylan Young of Leakey, Texas. Now, imagine you at 20. He said, I'm sorry, I was just texting. Jody said, do you know what you just did? I'm sorry. The wreck on Wednesday occurred during a curve in the road where the speed limit is 65 miles an hour. The bus occupants, the members of the First Baptist Church, were returning from their three-day retreat in Leakey, about 9 miles from where the crash happened. 12 people died at the scene. Another died in the hospital. One bus passenger remains hospitalized in serious but stable condition. Young, the driver of the pickup, also remains hospitalized. Dozens of cities across Texas prohibit the practice, although there is no statewide ban on texting while driving. There will be now.
Maybe there should be.
Well, it's in 46 states it's banned, Texas is one of the four that only has a partial ban.
I don't know why we don't have. I mean, there's no reason. We all know. It's like drinking kind of and driving. We all know that. Public safety issue.
I mean, studies have shown that when they do that, people tend to hide their phones and look down away from the road. So they actually, at least early on, got in more accidents when there were texting bans because people, they're not stopping texting. They're just putting their phones lower so police don't see them. And then they look down at their phones to text, and that takes their eyes off the road instead of putting it up where they can actually still see their inner field of view. So libertarians argue with it on that basis. But I mean, it's one of those things that's pretty much everywhere anyway. I think we just went over this, but there's four states. There's two states that have nothing at all and two states that have partial bans. And Texas has a full ban, I believe, going through the process of being enacted. And this is certainly going to probably isolate that.
I mean, the problem is, you know, the car is just as dangerous, and if not more so, than a loaded gun. You know, you'd never walk around with a loaded gun and, be texting and pointing the gun all over and having people go, whoa, hey, he's got a right to text while he's got that gun. No, not if he's irresponsible.
Yeah, I mean, look, of course, everyone knows it's a bad idea, right? The question is whether you make it illegal or not. And there's arguments against it. I certainly understand the arguments for it as well. I don't know that it actually makes a lot of people stop doing it. I think the people who are responsible enough to understand it's a bad idea are not going to do it because they think they don't want people to die that they hit with their cars, including themselves.
Yeah.
I think that's the real reason. I think most people don't do it. The ticket, again, people also know that they can get tickets for speeding, but they do it because they feel like it's actually fine. I know I can go 70 in a 55 and it's not a big deal.
You don't know anybody like that though, do you?
Well, I mean, there's actually people, and I've heard this, in Texas that have had something like 12, 13 speeding tickets within a couple of years.
Right.
It's incredible.
So much so that you would lose your license and your insurance in the other state.
Well, the insurance goes through the roof in that scenario. Right.
That's not me, because I've had 15. So I'm glad you're not talking about
15
me.
15 tickets. And in Texas,
well, that's over a four-year period.
He still has his license. In Texas, the man still has his license.
This is the Blaze Radio on demand.
Really remarkable. The Democrats now are two or three votes away from a filibuster on the Supreme Court. This guy is so mainstream. He has said Roe versus Wade is settled legally. What more do you want? How are you going to find somebody that a Republican will like that is more centered and balanced than this guy? Chuck Schumer has an idea. I want to show you this crazy idea, but also I want to show you a journalist at work. Chuck Todd, Listen, begins right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. Yesterday, last night, I tweeted this out because I think it's important audio for you to hear with Chuck Todd and Chuck Schumer to show you how unhinged the Democrats are. It's ridiculous what they're doing to the Supreme Court nominee. But I also want you to hear Chuck Todd actually punching the clock and showing the rest of journalists what it's like to be a journalist.
You expressed regret earlier this year for the rules change that was made on judges in 2013. Why did you go along with it if you regret doing it?
Well, let's look at the history. Our Republican colleagues had been holding back on just about all of so many lower court judges, including the very important D.C. Circuit. I went to Lamar Alexander, one of my dear friends in the Senate, and I said, look, if you keep holding back on scores and scores of judges, my side's going to want to change the rules. Go to Mitch and tell him at least let us have some votes on a few of these, many of whom had gotten bipartisan support. The answer was no, and we changed the rules. But the one thing that stands out here, Chuck, is we did not change it for Supreme Court for one very important reason. And that is on the most important of decisions, 60 votes is called for. That's why you get a mainstream. That's how you get a mainstream justice.
Can you believe the hair he's splitting here? That they changed the rules, sure, but we didn't do it on the Supreme Court. That's just because there was no Supreme Court justice coming up for a vote at that time.
And that they needed the help with, right? I mean, they didn't need it.
They didn't need to do that.
You know
that.
Why? Because Republicans, too many of them, by the way,
yes,
did not oppose.
They just caved.
Kagan or Sotomayor.
Sotomayor is not mainstream. Kagan was not mainstream. But he wants a mainstream justice.
Just about every Mitch calls it a filibuster. Ugh. We call it the 60 vote standard.
Most Americans
believe in the 60 vote standard.
But okay, that's fine. But there is no rule that says that it has to be 60 votes. There's no of advice and consent that says there has to be 60 votes. Right. And in fact, there are currently two members of the Supreme Court right now that did not get 60 votes.
Sam Alito,
and Clarence Thomas.
Well, actually, Clarence Thomas is the only one, because when the filibuster came up with Alito, there were 72 votes to go forward. So there's just one. Just about every nominee gets 60 votes, because in the past, presidents have actually consulted the other side before picking someone.
What a bald-faced lie. Such garbage. Like, Barack Obama went to conservatives and said, hey, who would you like me to appoint?
Sonia Sotomayor.
You like her?
Yeah, I like her.
Me too.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, according to the New York Times, Sotomayor is to the left of Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Right.
To the left.
No, she is mainstream left.
She's mainstream. She is the most.
So bad.
And he actually has the balls in this clip to actually cite the exact thing I'm talking about. Because he says, well, the New York Times said he would be the second most conservative justice just to Clarence Thomas. He actually says that in the story. That same article says the most liberal justice on the Supreme Court is Sonia Sotomayor. To the left of Ginsburg.
That's hard to believe. It's hard to believe anybody could be that. Yeah. I mean, what is the only thing left of Sotomayor is Joe Stalin. And he's gone.
In this case, Donald Trump consulted the Heritage Foundation, the Federalist Society, hard right groups with extreme special interest oriented views, and it didn't leave much chance for compromise.
You know, Heidi Heitkamp, one of the Democratic senators in your conference, she came out in favor of Neil Gorsuch and in favor of cloture. She said she's not happy about it. She didn't like the way Merrick Garland was treated. But she ended her statement by essentially saying, two wrongs don't make a right.
Okay, let me make
why not give Neil Gorsuch an up or down vote, Senator Schumer?
let me make a proposal here to maybe break this problem that we have.
I'm sure this will be reasonable.
It looks like Gorsuch will not reach the 60-vote margin. So instead of changing the rules, which is up to Mitch McConnell and the Republican majority, why doesn't President Trump, Democrats, and Republicans in the Senate sit down and try to come up with a mainstream nominee?
And finally come up with a nominee that I like. Why don't they do that?
Right.
How about I tell Trump who to nominate?
We did this with Sotomayor.
Yeah. Sotomayor.
Sotomayor.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, they did that.
They did.
Look, when a nominee doesn't get 60 votes, you shouldn't change the rules. You should change the nominee. And let's just give me 1 minute here, because this is important.
All right.
Let's just look at the history, okay? Our nominee was Merrick Garland. Mitch McConnell broke 230 years of precedent and didn't call him up for a vote. It wasn't in the middle of an election campaign. It was March.
Which was the middle of the election campaign.
Now it looks like we have the 60 the votes to prevent Gorsuch from getting on. Now, that doesn't mean you have to change the rules. Each side didn't get their nominee. Let's sit down and come together.
You got your nominee.
Friends are acting like, you know, they're a cat on the top of a tree.
They expected, what they're saying about the Merrick Garland thing, is that they expected a hardcore conservative to be replaced with a liberal. And of course the Republicans weren't going to bring that up for a vote. Of course
and
not.
And it was in
Come
the
on.
Middle of an election.
Yes, it was.
I remember tweeting, this may change the course of the election.
You can't allow that to swing the entire court in the direction of the left wing.
No.
I mean, that would be...
No.
That would have been a horrible, horrible move.
And this is, you want to talk about a good argument for Gorsuch. What you're seeing here from Chuck Schumer is, he knows he's not getting a liberal. What he wants is someone he thinks he can win over later.
Yep.
The Kennedys of the world. He wants the, I always think of Breyer, but the other guy that was in New Hampshire.
Souter.
He wants a Souter, right? He's hoping he can get someone who looks kind of conservative at the beginning, but you're not really sure, and then you can win him over on big things. Roberts. You can win him over on certain issues. And he doesn't think that he has that in Gorsuch, which is a positive, by the way. A very big positive.
This is why Gorsuch should be hammered through no matter what. You change the rule and just get it done. You'll get, 54 votes now? And that's, so what? It's not 60. Like Chuck Todd said, no rule says you have to have 60. There's no law.
And we all know that this standard is going away. Because if it doesn't go away here, if they don't do it with Gorsuch, the next person who comes up is going to do it. Whether it's a Democratic or a Republican president, the next justice that comes up is going to slam these guys through with 50 votes no matter what.
Boy,
this standard is dead.
Do.
It's dead.
I hope they do.
So I think so far, the initial idea with Democrats was, let's not do it to Gorsuch when they have an obviously good nominee. Let's wait for the next one. We can really vilify them because that's going to be the balance of the court. We can vilify them, really go after it, and we'll have credibility because we let Gorsuch through. Now, I think with the healthcare failure, they're feeling a little momentum. They're thinking they might as well just go for this now.
Wrong move strategically, I think. Wrong move strategically.
And they're not, I mean, he keeps saying that Gorsuch is not mainstream. Nobody could have been more reasonable during a hearing than Neil Gorsuch was. He was absolutely mainstream. He sounded completely unbiased on many issues. He actually said Roe v. Wade was settled law, along with the marriage, the gay marriage thing. I mean, almost everything the Democrats would want, he said, it's settled.
He said if Trump asked him how he would rule on Roe versus Wade during the interview, he would have walked out of the room. Now, of course, Trump promised that he would ask his nominees that question. So apparently he didn't do that.
The Democrats certainly do.
I honestly have no problem. Like, everyone makes that out to be like, how dare you? Well, I mean, isn't that, a fundamental question you should know about your justice? We're supposed to play this weird telepathic game with these guys.
So what they're saying is trying to appeal to, you know, their sense of reason and independent-minded action for the specific case. But I can't think of the case where it overturns Roe versus Wade that doesn't involve the choice, is this a blob of tissue or is it a child?
Well, privacy. I mean, they try to find indicators, right? Gorsuch has never had a ruling on abortion. He did write a book about euthanasia. He is shown to be very favorable towards issues that would
indicate. Does he not like senior citizens in Asia? What's the deal?
Yeah, no, it's true. Definitely what he.
No,
it's a different thing. But yes, he does not like citizens, senior citizens in Asia.
That's weird.
That's just
kind of weird.
I mean, but yeah, I mean, every indication is that he will be very good on this issue. Yeah. But I mean, I would want to know.
But you don't know for sure. And you would ask, because certainly Barack Obama asked Sonia Sotomayor and Kagan if they were in favor of abortion or not. You know that happened.
Maybe it was so obvious that he didn't need to ask. I mean, there's not much of a debate on that one.
Never would a Democrat nominate a Supreme Court justice who wasn't pro-choice.
Never.
You know that wouldn't happen.
Never.
Would not happen. So this little game Schumer's trying to play is
any more left?
Yeah, there's some more.
And they have to jump off with all the damage that entails. Come back off the tree, sit down, and work with us,
We
will produce a mainstream nominee.
Senator Schumer,
it'll be a Republican nominee. But right. Remember, Democrats voted for Roberts and Alito, and both of them got 60 votes.
All right, but there are already two Democrats for Neil Gorsuch, so there already is a bipartisan majority that supports him. Two is two. It's more than zero for what it's worth. But why should Senator McConnell work with you guys on this when you changed the rules first, when you decided to do this? And again, a change that you yourself said this week and 2 months ago that you regret and it was a mistake.
I don't regret not changing it for the Supreme Court. And let me read you a quote of Mr. McConnell. You like to put up quotes. He said, I think we can stipulate, and my good friends on the other side of the aisle stipulated from time to time over the years when they were in the minority that in the Senate it takes 60 votes on controversial matters. That has been the tradition of the Senate for a long time. This is nothing new.
Then why did you change the rules in the first place? I go back to this because now we're going down this slippery slope. Yes. And everybody has hypocrisy on their side to point the finger.
Yes.
But you guys are hand in hand sliding down this slope. Tell me this. In 10 years, do you think the filibuster will still be alive for anything?
That's one of the few things that my dear friend Mitch said on the show that
your
I agree
dear friend
with.
Mitch.
I don't think there's any thirst to change the legislative rules. 60 votes for that.
Most
Democrats and most Republicans have served in both the minority and majority and know what it means. But why not? You know, you can do a lot of finger pointing. Each side has some right here. Let's stop this now. And the way to stop it is the way I mentioned. You know,
and the way to stop it is to do exactly what he wants.
That's right.
And nominate somebody he's fine with.
Well, while we do it my way, we're fine. Right. Give me a justice that we want, and then we'll be fine.
Yeah.
Forget about you.
Exactly.
I mean, they didn't care a lick about what the Republicans said.
Not at all.
Of course not. And you know what? Honestly, they shouldn't. You know, they shouldn't. They don't need to consult. No, if you have control of all three branches, all three, you know, you're going through House, Senate, presidency. You have all three of those. You shouldn't be consulting with the other side. Mm. You should go pick somebody you think is good for your side.
And that's the situation Republicans are in right now.
Yeah. And it was just like the one the Democrats were in last time.
Make it happen.
Not the whole time. But, I mean,
I believe that's where we first heard elections have consequences.
Yeah. And then you know what they do? You should be able to push through your own Supreme Court justice if you're the president of the United States and you have control of the House and the Senate. Yes, you should be able to do that.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Sign up for the newsletter and get all the info you need to know at glennbeck.com. Mercury. 888-727-BACK.
Another
this
way.
Is the Glenn Beck Program.
Another way the world has totally changed. What's the last CD that you purchased? What's the last CD that you played?
Well, I play them pretty regularly.
Do you?
But I haven't purchased a CD of a single artist in probably 10 or 15 years.
Yeah, you're big on stealing them from
Walmart,
Target.
I still burn songs from my iTunes to CD and then just use them in my
car. Surprising to me. Because I plug the phone in to the... You know,
Bluetooth.
The Bluetooth thing doesn't work in my car for some reason. But I plug it into the little port and we'll play it through my phone mostly.
Yeah, I do the same thing with just Bluetooth. It's easy.
The special CD set that my wife wanted for Christmas told the kids, "Yeah, you can get this for me Christmas." We got it. I looked at it yesterday. It hasn't been opened. Never listened to it.
It's such a pain in comparison.
Did she download it or she was just lying?
Yeah, I mean, she's we just listened to it on her phone.
Yeah,
her
why? I mean, why not? They say gold and platinum records are a thing of the past because downloads now account for 51% of all music sales.
I'm surprised it's that low.
I know. I would have thought it was higher, too, but it's...
Who's buying them?
Old people, maybe?
Old people aren't buying records.
I don't know.
I mean, I think...
The kids.
It's the first time ever, though, streaming music has eclipsed both downloads and CDs.
That's incredible to me. I would have thought, honestly, it was 80-20 digital. And it's just passing. And this this is the same thing that happened with DVDs. You know, people were like, oh, it's a dead industry. It's a dead industry. And it's like, well, actually, they're still selling out billions and billions of dollars of them. I mean, and I understand that obviously it's easier to get digitally. And once you go there, it's hard to go back.
Sure,
but people stay on those trains.
It's really
hard.
I still buy movies, but do it like records or CDs. I buy them all through.
Them, right?
Yeah, I buy either
That's
through Amazon or iTunes.
I don't know what the last DVD is that we've purchased because we just buy them online.
I will tell you the one who needs to bend because Apple never will. Amazon needs to fold in if Apple will ever do it. Fold in their service to Apple.
Which one is the resistant one? Because I noticed that.
It's Apple.
It's Apple.
Yeah, always
won't allow Amazon on, on there. Yeah.
And I'm getting sick of it. I'm getting sick of it. I just want one thing that will just do the apps. All I want is the apps.
Right.
Give me one thing.
I love Apple TV, but they don't have Amazon on it.
Right.
And it
it's like, why?
I mean, so then you have to go through the incredible hassle of pulling it up on your iPad and then tossing it up on the screen. Do you know how long that takes?
No,
about a minute and a half.
Oh my God.
A minute and a half.
You have to
two updates.
Yes.
Still paid, I don't know, $2,000, I think, to have somebody come out and completely strip it back down.
Oh, geez.
Just give me a remote control.
Dude, if you need somebody
doesn't work. This is the fourth time. Doesn't work.
You've got to pay me some money.
My gosh. And remember the rain.
Yeah.
Remember the rain?
Yeah, I remember the rain.
Okay. $18,000 to dig up and put French drain across my basement flooded again this weekend.
Oh, my gosh.
Take it.
Oh, my God.
I'm going home today to have a conversation with the French drain people.
I bet that would be pleasant.
Oh, it will be very pleasant.
This is the Glenn Beck program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck program.
So, is anybody else, do you have technology that you bought that you now no longer use because I just can't get the damn thing to work?
Well, it's a certain level of time and money you're willing to put into it to get it to work. And if that
fails, I have dumped so much money into a remote control. Literally, all I wanted to do is turn everything on. Then if I want to select a movie or a channel, it does that, and then turn
Lots.
Off.
It's got a Big Lots. Get one of those all-in-one remotes and be good.
Yeah, I've done that. I've tried it the cheap way. I've tried it the expensive way. None of it works. This is an honest conversation that happened 2 weeks ago at my house, okay? Mm-hmm. Honey, I can't get the damn TV to work. All right, I'll be in just a second. I'll try to get it to work. All right, is it on yet? No. Is it on yet? No. Okay. All right. It's on. But the Apple box isn't on. Okay. Is it on yet? No. Is it on yet? No. Honey, have you tried unplugging it and plugging it back in? Yes. All right. Rafe comes down. Oh, I'll fix it. Is it on yet? No. Is it on yet? No. Okay. Dad, I don't know what's wrong with it. I can't fix it. Okay, who wants to play cards? I mean, literally, that is a honest-to-God conversation. I just want a TV that works. That's all I want. Is it too much to ask? Is it too much to ask? Mm-hmm. Everything has become so damn complex that, I mean, I know it's not just me. I know I am not technically inclined. I know I'm not the guy who's like, oh, yeah, you just, I don't know. But I also know it's gotten to the point to where there are so many pieces. Somebody has got to consolidate everything into one box that turns on. And then it turns on all of the apps. That's all I want. I love Apple. I love iTunes. I want a box that works.
We actually have one.
That will actually, I can get Netflix and iTunes, or I could get Netflix and Amazon, but I can't get Netflix and Amazon.
And iTunes.
Right.
And iTunes. And
I don't know about iTunes.
And in my house, system. I can't get any of them to work.
That's probably the bigger problem.
That is frustrating, too.
Yeah. Roku, we were down
first
to Roku.
Problem,
okay, just turn the damn Roku on.
Yeah.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Is it on yet?
No.
Well, that's what, when you were talking about listening to CDs in cars, it made me think of the reason that we went back to listening to some of the CDs in cars, especially some of a couple that Pat had burned for us, is because when you get in the car and you say, I want to listen to a song with your voice command, then it ends up calling
Call
your grandmother.
Mom. Yeah.
Okay, calling grandma.
Yeah,
no, I just want to listen to the song. Oh, okay, calling Bill.
It is really infuriating. There is almost nothing more frustrating in society than voice recognition software that does not understand what you're saying. I don't know why. Like, there's no reason, as a person who grew up in the 80s, like, there's no reason I should believe I should have perfect voice recognition. I recognize this is a failure of my own, really.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're gonna put it in the car,
make it work.
Make it understand the language that I'm speaking, which is English in America with an American car. I get close to the words I'm saying.
It doesn't, though. They have not perfected that technology.
No, not at all.
They've not even come close to perfecting
that. Although you
that
can
technology.
Pick whether you want to hear it in an Australian accent, an English accent, or an American accent.
Yeah, I just it to work in something.
Yeah, I would like it to just recognize my accent.
Yes.
Just recognize
nice.
My. You could say it back to me as big Southern hick. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
As an angry New Yorker, fine. Say it back as the Queen. Just understand my language, please.
I know.
It
would okay, be nice. Calling Grandma.
See, I can take that frustration because that is my fault. For me to go, I mean, how many times do you have to do it? I don't use the voice recognition in the car.
No, you just don't even try it.
Yeah, because you've used it three times. It doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You end up frustrated. So you just don't use it. My television, I have to use. I'd like to use. I'd like to be. I mean.
Because it has the voice thing.
No, I don't even use the voice thing. It has the voice thing on it. I don't use it. I don't. I know that won't work.
Okay, shutting off.
Right. I got it.
Did you guys watch these? I think it's the CMAs that were on last night.
Yeah,
the Country
were on
Music
last
Awards.
Night. No. Walking Dead.
So they're sponsored by some cable system. Was it Xfinity or I don't know which one it was? And their big push was they were on stage. The people were on stage at show me the nominees for ACA or whatever. Not the ACA. That's the crappy healthcare bill. It shows where my mind is.
The CMAs.
Show me the nominees for CMAs Best Artist. And then it would look like if you were at home and had this cable system, how you're supposed to talk to your remote. And it's supposed to put it on screen and then it pops up. In a million years, that would not work for me. I would never be able to get anything done talking to my stupid remote. Nothing would happen. Nothing.
And I don't even want the flying car anymore. I don't.
No, because the flying car screws up. You just run into the ground. At
but I mean, I'm willing to not. I don't need to dream that big anymore.
No,
I don't need to dream
the
that
basics.
Big. No, just make it work.
Like
I need something with an on-off button. And on turns everything on. Off turns everything off. Or if you want to have on-off buttons for several different devices, good. Give them to me.
That's what your robot's going to do for you, Glenn. That's what your robot's
going to
do.
Oh, I am so willing to serve the master if it's a robot. Yeah. I'm so willing to do it if it'll make my technology work.
I know it will.
Matrix would, if you were in the Matrix and your TV would turn on, I'd be for the Matrix.
You just give up.
I'm all on the blue pill. Just give it to me.
Just give up. But there's some things that, you know, we should probably learn, like this drainage problem. It's like magic to me.
The one you talked about last week, right? Where
Okay, so my basement is... We've had to replace. I don't have a basement.
You have a crawl space.
Crawl space underneath. And our furnace is in that area. And the furnace yesterday was about 4 inches from the water because we had to replace our furnace because of the water problem. Didn't realize until, gee, it's cold or hot in here. And so found out, oh, there's water in the crawl space. Okay. So we go in. We think that it's maybe coming through the foundation, whatever. They can't find the leak, but we're going to put a French drain in. We'll put a French drain in. That sounds expensive. Well, it is French, you know. Good. Could we get a Portuguese drain in? How about that?
Is it cheaper?
Mexican drain. I'll take that one. So we put it in, and it's raining so hard this weekend. 4 inches away from the furnace when we found it.
Oh, geez.
So I had to get the guys out to pump it back out. Nothing.
Put some pump in there.
Nothing. Yeah. Well, I'm willing to hire a little Dutch boy to sit there and spin the pump and keep his finger wherever he needs to keep his finger. Right. I mean,
the French drain could have worked.
So it's magic to me because I have absolutely no idea because I didn't grow up in a family that did anything besides work and our deal, and then everything in our house broke down, and then we move. Kitchen sink doesn't work. Call the guy or move. Those were our two options. Mm-hmm. My dad had zero skill, so I have double zero skill. I don't even. Tanya will look at me. The refrigerator's down. Do we buy a new one?
I mean, a new house. Buy a new house?
Yeah. Does that mean we have to move, or can we just get a new refrigerator?
We used to just move.
Right. I just don't know. No idea. So I'm looking at it, and he's talking to me about, there's blah, 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 blah. And that's all I'm hearing. And I'm like, okay, whatever. I don't know. Okay.
The exact same way with these
guys. I mean, they can come in and they can sell anything.
They might as well be speaking Mandarin Chinese. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. They can sell anything, as is apparent from this French drain that I purchased.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
Yeah. Do you get the problem where technology seems to degrade after you have it? Like, it almost goes backwards. It goes back in time. Like, I have a remote, which is programmed. So you program it through the internet. And this does not sound like a good idea, I know. Mm-hmm. But you program it through the internet so it to turn do exactly what you're asking.
Yeah,
like, you press one button and everything turns on.
Somebody hacks in and changes your channel.
Well, maybe that's what's happening.
Right.
Because
I'd welcome that at some point. Somebody wants to hack in and try to screw with my remote, it might work.
Right. Like, so we have our television box, like, it's inside a cabinet. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it has a feature in which you press the button and it's set so it can go through the cabinet. I don't have to keep the cabinet open to be able to see it.
That's smart.
Suddenly, it doesn't work. I have not been on the internet to change the settings. I have not done anything other than press the remote, which there's no ability to program the remote from the remote.
How are you sleeping at night?
And it will. Now, look, I understand this is a first world problem here. I get it. That's not me trying to, sanitize water for a village. I get it. But it's like, how does this happen? I have not changed anything.
Okay, so my TCP/IP okay, that just changes. If you let the remote lose its charge,
completely die.
I have to go in and reset all the TCP/IP.
You have to change the batteries
within an amount of time. What that means, but I have to change it.
You have to change those batteries in an amount of time. Okay, we've got the batteries. Don't take those out yet.
Okay, so look at yourself. Look at the gift horse that you have. Mm-hmm. Okay, I went one step further. You put it in a cabinet, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I moved into the house, I said, it's a storage room on the other side of this TV. Let's just put everything
in the storage room.
That's a good call.
And so we'll just drill a hole through this wall. Mm-hmm. And because then we'll just have the remote and it will.
Everything's right there.
So that's why we're down to. This is not even sitting in freaking same room. That's why. You see anything yet? because we're shouting into the other room. It's completely disconnected. You have try to fix it yourself. Try to watch a show. You're home by yourself. Come over to my house. You just try to watch a show while you're alone. You can't because you have no idea what's on the TV because you have to figure out which component is on and off.
And you know what's amazing is our fallback position, because I Pat just said it in the break. The fallback position is you go to the highest level of technology you have, which is usually your iPad, your iPhone, your computer. And you wind up watching it on the little tiny screen in front of you or sending it from your iPad to the screen because it's the only part of it that works.
Yep.
Which is crazy.
My iPad, I never have this problem with. I watch almost everything on my iPad. It's like, why do we have the television? Seriously.
You turn on the iPad and
why do we
works.
Have the TV? Mm-hmm. You know, all I need is I'll just get the iPad and then just make sure that I have Apple, what is it, AirPort on the television so it'll pick it up and I'll just watch everything on the iPad and just throw it up there.
And I am aware that somewhere in the world there's a talk show going, I got the malaria mosquito net and there was a hole in it. It's unbelievable. There's mosquitoes inside my bed. 14,000 villagers died last week and they can't get the things without holes. Like, I get that that's a better show.
Right.
You know,
right.
But that is our world.
But we're struggling here.
Thank you.
Look at us.
We're struggling. I mean, yes, people are dying. Blah, 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 blah. We can't get the TV to work. I'm just saying. Yeah, it's not even that the TV won't work. It's that the remote won't work. Thank you for bringing that crystal clear.
Yeah,
bringing that
home,
Pat. I appreciate
that. Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BACK.
Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello and welcome to the program. Glad you're here.
Somebody knows the answer to Glenn's problem?
News on the feed.
Which one?
Good.
Glenn.
The draining thing.
Yeah, okay.
Sounds like a this particular problem.
Yeah, okay. All right, good.
Glenn, sounds like a drain tile problem. And if so, you've got a hell of a big expensive mess.
Thank you.
I
just thought I'd pass that along. Nice. On the feed.
Drain tile problem?
Drain tile problem.
I don't know what that is.
I'm not going to ask the guy. He comes over if it's a drain tile. Hey, is this a drain tile problem? You know what that means? You know what that means? That is I guarantee that's some water pump guy or somebody who that's code.
All right.
For it's like going into your mechanic. I ask him if it's the defibrillator. That's code
for you don't know what you're
talking
about.
I don't have any idea what I'm talking about, but I talked to another mechanic who is in on this deal, and he's sending a coded message. This guy's an idiot. Tell him, yes, it's the defibrillator, and charge him whatever you want. That's what
they coded. Sounds like a drain tile problem.
Yeah, I'm just looking at this here. Could it be? I have to take my glasses off kind of quickly. Could it be a drain tile problem as I chew on the edge of my glasses? Could be, right? I'm just thinking, I don't know. This is your business. And what are you going to say after that? They answer that, well, yeah, but have you thought about, no, I haven't. I don't even know what a drain tile is.
Oh, man.
But thank you for that, Jeffy. I appreciate
it. No problem. I just wanted to
help from the feed.
Be prepared for the expensive mess.
They're helpers.
Thank you.
Always helpers on the feed.
They always are. They are. You want to join the feed, join us at The Blaze or at glennbeck.com. We'll see you back here in 21 hours. And I'll see you tonight in the think tank at 5 on the Blaze TV.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.